Weekend Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and this evening in our lead story, I'm joined by Santam Namibia CEO Franco Fieris. Welcome.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Great privilege to engage with you, Angie.
What inspired Santam Namibia to partner with Prisca and support a grassroots climate smart food project?
Thank you very much for the question. There was two factors that definitely interested Santam Namibia. The first one is the fact of transferring of skills, because within this business, we believe that we should empower, continuously develop skills and continuously develop people to be self-sustainable. That was the first trigger for us. The second one is that excited it was, is actually a project that went to the rural areas, specifically to the Dordabus area. And I believe it's a community that definitely have got a great need to make sure that we've got food security within that area. And those were the two factors that definitely moved us to get involved within this project. The last one that I can add is specifically the fact that there was other partners also involved within this project. The community was already involved, so they started the project. UNEM was involved. Crown Gardens from Prisca was involved within this whole project. So collectively, there is actually a team that is involved in this project. One of the concepts that we also believe in Santam is the Ubuntu concept, which means that we are because of them. Taking hands, we can collectively cross the line. And that's what really, really excited us to partner within this project.
So, Franco, Namibia is facing increasing climate risks, drought, water scarcity, and food insecurity. How does Santam see hydroponics and aquaponics fitting into long-term solutions for these challenges?
As you've mentioned, water remains one of our great demand, scarcity, resources. Yeah. And with the deployment of these new techniques, the use of water is being minimized eventually at the end of the day. And I believe this is the future. We definitely need to look into the whole concepts of how can we make use of our resources better to achieve greater results. The business that I'm in is a risk management business. And the partnership and the future in terms of deploying these new techniques is definitely making use of risk management. And that's the reason it excites us. So this is the future. And also from a future perspective, as I've shared during the review, is that this is definitely not a once-off partnership, but we definitely see longevity in this partnerships rolling out to the larger Namibia. And what excites me about this process is transferring this technique to Namibia. I'm excited if one can move to the southern part of Namibia. And we know in the southern part of Namibia, the scarcity of water is even more. And the resources and the availability is actually more. So that excites me. This is an opportunity where there is water available. And as Dean have mentioned during the interview, the main requirement is just the availability of actually electricity. But this is also a factor that one can overcome through deploying other resources to get the necessary electricity to rural communities.
Yeah. And like you said, Santam is traditionally known for insurance. How do you measure impact when supporting social and developmental projects like these?
Our main measurement is the ability to enable people. So the enablement of people is what really drives us. One of our key values within our business is definitely the business of innovation. And with innovation, we are continuously striving for excellence.
Yes.
And taking these two pillars into consideration, with the deployment and with the partnership and deploying aquaponics end-to-end, it's definitely embracing this value of innovation. In terms of excellence, is enabling and seeing where a community can help themselves to provide food on the table. Within our country where we are currently sitting with a high unemployment rate, and perhaps we should find solutions for ourselves. And this is definitely our strategy for a future perspective. How can we help communities to find solutions for themselves to get food on the table?
Beyond food production, the project also emphasizes education and self-resilience. How will Santam ensure that skills transfer and empowerment are sustained over the long term?
So education is one of our key pillars from a CSI perspective. And not only from a CSI perspective, but also from an industry perspective. And that's the reason that we've got an in-house fully full-fledged training center because we believe in education, and specifically within the financial sector, where we believe there's a shortage of skills. Coming back to the story in terms of education is that, and the reason that we've partnered is that with the team that we've partnered is that based on their capabilities to transfer skills. And that's for us one of the crucial factors before we went into this contract to make sure, or to went into this partnership, to make sure that when we leave a community, the project must go on. They mustn't be dependent, or neither becomes a white elephant. One of the factors that we've deployed is definitely that we want to visit sites twice a year because the investment must return a yield. This yield is unfortunately not policies in my world. This yield for us is to make sure that development is taking place at grassroots level.
How many community members do you expect to directly benefit from this project in the first year? And how do you plan to scale it in the future?
For the first year, next 12 months, we expect at least more than 100 people within Dordobus to benefit from this project, directly and indirectly. Indirectly in terms of people are going to come, people are going to get the skill, and then they can actually go to their own stations and try to develop the facility for themselves at the end of the day. The idea is definitely in 2026 to take it to other regions. At this stage, we are really dependent upon existing projects to come and approach the necessary partners, because we have to review if the necessary resources are available and if these projects meet criteria. So at this stage, I also want to invite, if there is currently projects in other rural areas within our beautiful country that are interested and that need assistance, please make contact with Prisca that is driving this project so that we can review these opportunities and extend it to other regions. To your second part of your question, difficult to say at this stage how many more after Dordobus is going to benefit. This is really going to be dependent upon how many projects are interested and show interest in from a future perspective.
Yeah, Franco, then just any last words maybe regarding the project?
My last word would be that I'm excited. And why I'm excited? Because it's addressing a basic need, making sure that people have got food on their table. The thing that is really excites me and that is part of the vision of Santam is the whole thing about skills development.
Yeah.
And skills development gives me the confirmation that we can make sure that the future generation will be able to have a better life. And that's what a legacy is about. And we strive to create legacies. And that is what short-term insurance is about. Because short-term insurance is not a grudge payment. It's actually, in any event, making sure that your life can continue. And through this CSI activity and investment, we want to make sure that life continues for generations after both of us are not even more there.
There you have it, Franco Fieras. Franco, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Best wishes.
Now to the agricultural side of the lead story. I'm joined by Dean Spall, who is the co-founder of Urban Harvest. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you very much, Angie. It's great to be here.
What role is Urban Harvest playing in the Dordobus project? And what unique expertise are you bringing to this partnership?
So we are what you call the technical partners behind Crown and Gardens. We are the people who design the systems, who understand the technology, and who then can actually do the installation on site. So we bring it to life in that regard. So we've been running a hydroponics farm for the last 3 years. And before that, we were running aquaponics system for about 2 years as well. So we have hands-on experience with not only constructing these systems, but actually operating them for commercial purposes. So we can then give hands-on training to the beneficiaries of these systems in order to make sure that they can effectively run them.
How do you adapt hydroponics and aquaponics systems to Namibia's arid conditions?
So these systems are in and of themselves already perfectly adapted for our climate because they are very water efficient. So most of these systems are what we call recirculating systems, meaning that water is pumped from a tank to the plants, and any excess water that is not used by the plants returns back to the tank and then actually recirculates. So if set up correctly, these systems can use up to 90% less water than traditional soil-based gardens because the water being used is only those being taken up by the plants and no water is lost to evaporation or leaching through the soil. So because we have these harsh arid conditions with water scarcity being a common issue, every drop that can be saved counts. And hydroponics and aquaponics are just perfectly suited to this.
So these systems use up to 90% less water than your traditional farming. How scalable are they for other Namibian communities?
I think very scalable. I do think that the one limiting factor that they perhaps have is that you need access to electricity, which I do think in general, most people should have access to electricity, which I understand many communities unfortunately do not. But beyond that limitation, they really are scalable to all communities. I truly believe that anyone has the ability to learn how to function and maintain these systems with a bit of hand-holding and a bit of training and a bit of skilling. They really are capable of doing so. And so it's really possible to roll it out.
Namibia faces food insecurity and youth unemployment. How do you see agri-tech bridging those two challenges?
Well, I think that there's actually a large interest in younger generations in farming, but they don't always necessarily want to do so in the most traditional ways, to live in a very rural area without access to a city life and things like this. But like we do here in Windhoek, we actually have an urban farm because we're not dependent on having fertile soils or large pieces of land. With this technology, we can actually create sustainable farms within or close to urban environments. And so it gives young people the access that they need to be able to become farmers, but also still live a more modern life. And I do believe that because Namibia is so dependent still on food imports, we import sometimes up to 80% of our fresh produce still from the Western Cape. There's a huge gap in the market to be filled when it comes to fruit production. But this can only be accomplished by incorporating technology. We do not have the natural climatic conditions to just simply grow food. We need to use technology in order to alleviate the natural conditions that we have here in order to effectively solve this problem.
Dean, just the last question. What does partnering with Santam Namibia and Crown and Gardens mean for Urban Harvest's mission?
It means that we can really actually make a difference to communities on the ground. We are a private entity and we operate our farms and things like this for commercial purposes. But we really believe that these technologies and these types of systems can really go a long way to tackling poverty and food security issues within our nation. And so this partnership really allows us to channel the skills and the technologies that we have come to know directly through to the communities where they can have great benefit.
There you have it. Thank you so much, Dean. It was lovely having you.
Thank you. It was lovely to be here.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.